So again, thank you, Leah. Thank you for coming. It's good to see you. We'll give you a warm welcome. And I was speaking to somebody about grace today, you know, speaking actually about the visitors that we had with us last week. It was Ro up at Pitsligo, and Ro was telling us a story about our guest, Francis, who was with us last week, and telling me that there was a house that you maybe remember him speaking about his home, that they had an agreement to rent from this guy, and they went and did a whole heap of work on this home, only just upon completion for the guy to come and say, "Hey, I'm wanting my house back." You know, they took on to rent this house and done a whole heap of work to it just for the guy to come and say, "I want a house back." And you know what his response was? His response was twofold. Firstly, his response was this. It was, "Well, listen, you have to give me like a month or 3 months at the most till I get somewhere else to stay." And the second was this, to his family, "We were going to paint this house, weren't we? We've not finished this job." And they painted the house. They painted the house. Just another level, isn't it? You see, the worldly standard in such a situation is to kick up a stink and to moan and to protest. This is unfair. But in the midst of adversity, the way of the kingdom is to love. It's to love. It's at times to turn the other cheek. It's to present a heart for service despite the fact that your service has been taken for granted, or you feel like you've been mistreated, dare I say it, perhaps even at church, in your workplace, in your family unit, or whatever it looks like. Sometimes we feel knocked back, we feel undervalued, unappreciated. But grace says, it's time to go again. Grace says, they shouldn't have spoke to you like that. It's time to go again. Grace says, the world wouldn't have put up with that, but it's time to go again. Grace tells a different story, isn't it? The way of the Master, the way of Jesus, is not the way of this earth. Eh? We keep coming back to it. The scripture says, the Lord speaking, "My ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts." And it's with that kind of veil of thinking, if you like, I want to speak to us about freedom today, because I'm going to talk to you about a freedom that's maybe contrary to the freedom that you perhaps think about as a Christian when you think about freedom, yeah? And there's a lot to freedom. And this is a precursor, if you like, not to a series that we're going to speak about here on Sundays, but to the studies we're going to be doing in our Connect groups as we begin a new book, which is the book of Galatians. Of course, Paul, the apostle, famously said, "It was for freedom that Christ has set you free, no longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery." Yeah? So freedom that Christ has set you free. And maybe that's the kind of verse that springs to your mind when you think about freedom. You think, "Jesus, come and set me free. My chains are gone." The guys were singing a moment ago, yeah, that I'm no longer bound to these chains. You think about the chains of sin and the restriction, and it's all true. But, you know, true freedom in God's economy is a freedom that is not just received, but is lived out in a certain way, which begs the question, what do you do with your freedom? What are you doing with the freedom that God has given you? Are you actually living as he wants you to live? Are you doing this kingdom thing? Are you simply just doing your own? It's a theme, I suppose, we come back to many a time as we have to humbly ask ourselves, and it's a good time to ask it as we come to the table, because we're in a posture, aren't we, of heart and mind that we're examining ourselves. We're saying, "Lord, come examine me. See if there be any way of offense, if there's anything off You know, and my thinking and my conduct, come create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. This is a good time to do it. Because if we're not careful, and we'll see this as Paul speaks about it in, I think, the book of Romans, that we can abuse freedom. Yeah, we can use it as a liberty to do whatever we want. Well, that's not the freedom that Jesus died and rose to give us. His heart, and we'll see this, of course, as we go on, and we know this, his heart is that we live out that freedom in a way which honors him, which glorifies him, which points others to him. But we've been given a freedom. God's purpose and desire for each of us is that we should serve him forever. Forever. But what is meant by serving him? You see, again, these words, we put them in boxes in our minds, don't we? Like, again, freedom, you know, serving God, to serve God. What does it actually mean to serve him? Often we've got, a very limited conception of what serving God looks like, of what it means to serve him. You know, by that I mean, well, I serve God by helping with the teas at church. I serve God by helping set up the PA stuff at church. I serve God by opening up my house for Connect Group. I serve God by doing this, by doing that, by doing the next thing. Absolutely, acts of service. But if that's what it's limited to, then again, we're missing the fullness of the freedom that he has presented to us. Yeah? You see, our service of God is not defined and crystallized in singular acts. It's in a heart that's given over in fullness. You know, so it's not prescriptive to certain acts again, but any given situation. You know, I don't just serve God when I turn up to help with the PA. I serve God when I'm sitting with my remote control wondering what I'm going to watch on television next. I serve God when I get caught up in the road by somebody that's in a hurry in their car. I serve God when I'm tired, but somebody sat down next to me in a bus and I get the impression that somebody needs to speak to them. You hear me, church? That's what it is to serve God. Yeah? See, otherwise, if it's crystallized, then actual fact, we're just serving out of duty. We're serving perhaps to please a person. It could be that person is us. You know, so I tick my little box because I came and I set up the projector. Yeah? I'm not demeaning. You hear what I'm saying, don't you? But God wants us to serve him however, whenever, in any given way, at any given time. Somebody was speaking recently of how they inconveniently get woken up by the Lord. Yeah? It's random times at the night. And they feel like saying, no, 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 Lord. But hold on a minute. What's wrong with that statement? Nay, now, Lord and Master of my life. Something doesn't add up, yeah? Yes, it should be, if we are wholly serving him, a case of when he says jump, we jump, isn't it? You know, when he says speak to that person, we got nudged to speak to that person, we speak to that person. Whatever the thing, whatever the moment, that we are responsive, that it is a case, as the old song said, here I am, wholly available. Wholly available. Do you ever get a phone call from somebody and you know you decide in that moment, you make that choice, no, I'm not in a mood to speak to that person just now. Was it me? Answer your phone. Yeah, and you hit it. It's nae because It's not because you literally cannot answer that call. You make a decision that you don't want to answer that call. Different thing altogether. I've got some awkward faces looking back at me. It could be all sorts of things. What about when you're walking down Union Street and you almost trip over that beggar and you have a thought in your mind, well, I'm not going to give them money because, you know, it could just end up unhelpful. Yeah? But then there's a thought comes right in the back of it, but you could take them into McDonald's and buy them a burger. But I need a dinner for such and such, and I was going to do this, and I was going to do that, and I was... And you go, here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. So we can think of service as being involved in momentary activity, but the real meaning we can see is actually far deeper than that. It's far more demanding, yeah? Not in a, again, oh, well, if I've got to do this or I've got to do that, but no, it's more of a capacity issue. It requires not intentional time sacrificed, but it requires capacity of heart sacrificed, as in the whole thing. Here's my heart, Lord. Remember that one? Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Yeah, so to serve the Lord, to be his servant, is to be his bond slave. Some of you familiar with that statement, especially if you were out this morning. Some of you may be unfamiliar with that statement, and I'll make it clear for you in a second. So to serve the Lord, to be his servant, is to be his bond slave, to be completely at his disposal, at the ready, at his bidding, whenever, for whatever. The alternative, though, is to be the servant or bond slave of sin. And, well, the book of Romans says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus the Lord. Choose this day whom you shall serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What about this thing then, about a bond servant or a bond slave? And this might look like a peculiar thing in this image to see associated with freedom. Now, I'm going to ask Alan. I think Alan's got a fighting chance of knowing what this is. He's under pressure. What do you think that thing might be, Alan? That was the wrong answer, Alan. It's not what we needed. Hands up. Anyone want to guess? Walter? It's very like a steak. Very like a steak. If I was to help you, right, with starters, by telling you that this is not life size, it would probably be, well, a third of the size of that, possibly a little bit smaller. It's a bit like a needle, Sheena. It's a bit like a needle, yeah? It's a bit like a nail. It's a bit, a dibble. Ooh, a dibble. So, do you mean like barmaid dibble or was... No. Neil? Good thinking. No, it's nae that though. But you see what I'm rubbing here just now? Yes. It's like a punch. It's what they called an awl. AWL. Yeah? And what this was used for, we're gonna hear about in a second. It was used to identify somebody as a servant under the ownership of a certain master. Yeah? But they were a free servant, not a slave. Not a slave, yeah? So it's what you called a bond slave or a bond servant. And you'll think, what on earth does that mean? Well, I'm going to help you in a second. But hear this from John's Gospel first. John's Gospel chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. And the New King James reads, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Here's one of those verses that we quote a lot, but we maybe don't until now appreciate the context of where it comes from. Yeah? If the son sets you free or makes you free, you shall be free indeed. In the Authorized translation, verses 34 and 35 again, read like this. It says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say to you, everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin, and the bondservant abideth not in the house forever, the son abideth forever. Yeah. So when we are bound to sin, we are under judgment, but we're not going to stay within this house. What is this house that Jesus is speaking about? He's speaking about the house ultimately of blessing, of true belonging, of divine ownership. And if you be party to sin, the rule, if sin has the rule of your heart, then there's no way that you can abide in that house forever, because the two don't go together. You see, the divine ownership of that house, of course, is God, yeah? Who is without sin, yeah? Now, he is, as we understand, he has brought a means into this earth that we can get that dealt with in our lives. So if we are under the dominion and control of sin, but recognizing what Jesus did in the cross, thanking him for that finished work, and identifying with it, seeking his salvation in our lives, ultimately, by doing so also, giving him authority in our lives to be the Lord and master of our lives. Again, like I was touching on earlier, where we're not calling the shots. We're not saying, oh, I won't do this, I won't do that, I will do this, I will do... You know, that he is the one that leads us. He holds sway. He holds authority and power in our lives. When we do that, what Jesus is saying is, you'll be free and you can abide in this house forever. You'll be a bond servant, not a bond servant of sin, but a bond servant in this house. So here we are in Exodus chapter 21. If you've got a Bible, then you're close to being a Christian. Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. Another row of anxious faces looking back at me now. Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. That's right, it's in the Old Testament. I love books like Exodus because they're relatively easy to find. Isn't that right? So right back at the beginning, Genesis, Exodus, after that it gets tricky. Yeah, so you should be okay today. Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 to 6, it said, these are the laws you are to set before them. If you buy, yes, buy, a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years, but in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. If he comes alone, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife when he comes, she is to go with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and only the son shall go free. But if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and children and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall then take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. So here's three things just to help you get your head around this. Three things very quickly today. Firstly, bought with a price. Secondly, we're going to speak about choosing this day whom we shall serve. And thirdly, being constrained by love. Okay, so we've heard that expression before, haven't we? Yeah, we've been bought with a price, bought by the precious blood of Christ. But where does that saying actually originate? It doesn't originate at the cross where Jesus shed his blood and for you and for me. The statement originates right back here. Right back here. And the setting was this, is that you would have markets of slaves. I know. And this goes on today. Trafficking and slavery, it makes you sick. But here we are 3,000 years ago or whatever, and common to the day was that we'd, good to see you guys, and you come grab a seat, wherever you're comfortable. What was common to the day is they would have these marketplaces. Sometimes it would be cows. Sometimes it would be sheep, goats. But sometimes it was human beings. They would have markets with human beings. They are to be purchased by wealthy people that would use them to serve in their land or in their homes. Serve as slaves. We can dress it up, call it servants. They were slaves. They were slaves because a servant clocks out at the end of the day. A slave doesn't have an end to their day. Yeah? And they don't have freedom to go where they want. Yeah? They were slaves. And what would happen is that the master would come along and on unique occasions perhaps they might be fortunate enough that they can have a pick of a certain master. They might look like the look of this one better than this one. Think that they're going to be more easygoing on them. And they can say, oh, can I serve this one? But the reality is, in normal case, what would happen is the highest bidder would call the shots. It wasn't down to the slave, the servant, whatever we want to say there. It wasn't down to them to dictate where they would go. It was when the hammer fell. Whoever paid the price was calling the shots. They were bought with a price. Bought with a price. Now you see, if not already, not before, it puts a kind of fresh spin on what Jesus did in dying for us on the cross, doesn't it? When we use that terminology, when we think that we were bought with a price, and we were by the blood of Jesus, by the blood of God's one and only Son, we are not born into slavery. We are bought into sonship, daughtership, children of the King of Kings. But so it should be that, like to the slaves, that we don't clock out either. That we are not departmentalizing, I'll serve you this day or that day or this amount of hours or in that ways. But here I am. I've been bought with a price. Hello? That's why you see, and we quote it a lot again, one of my favorite verses, you are not your own, Paul said, didn't he? You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You're not your own. He's almost saying, hello? Hello? Are you even thinking? Are you aware of what you're saying here? Are you in your right mind? That's what he would say in another breath. It's not for you to pick or choose. I'll serve in this way. I won't serve in that way. I'll forgive this person, but I won't forgive that person. I'll do this one more time, or I can't be bothered, or whatever it is. I'll speak to this person in the bus, but I'm not speaking to him because he looks moody. Is that me again? Try to stay off buses. He's saying, hello, you've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. But you know, true freedom goes beyond this. Who wants to serve out of duty? Yeah, because that's what your mind is maybe bringing you to as I speak about these things just now. Who wants to serve out of duty? Who wants to serve out of obligation? That's what we do during the week for our earthly masters, is it not? Some of you are fortunate that you actually enjoy your jobs. But it should never be like that with the Lord. Freely, freely, you have received. Freely, freely, give. Here I am, Lord. What is your bidding? I'm not talking about the auction now. You understand that? What would you have me do? What would you have me say? Where would you have me go? What is your desire for my life? He wants it to come free-flowing from within us. Not out of obligation, but out of desire. And that was the juncture that these bond slaves came to. So there was a bond, if you like, upon them. They were bound to serve the master for 6 years. They'd been bought with this price, so they were now of fixed abode. Yeah? It was almost like a prison sentence in many ways. But yet, It was for an appointed time. The 6 years, as we read there in Exodus, it came to pass. And then a decision needed to be made. Then comes another classic saying we find most famously perhaps from the mouth of Joshua, "Choose this day whom you shall serve." And that was a statement that would have been spoken to every bond slave. Yeah? "Choose this day whom you shall serve." But the normality being that the door was sprung open as they pointed figuratively to the wide world out there, maybe to the master down that way, to the home across that way. "Choose this day. Because you're probably fed up of me. You've had enough of me telling you what to do. So choose this day whom you shall serve." In unique occasions, a master would be found who actually, though they'd bought a slave from the market, maybe didn't treat them quite like a slave. And they fell in love with serving. The slave fell in love with serving the master. Perhaps became very affectionate with their family and the tasks at hand. Actually transformed from being a duty and an obligation and a chore to something of great delight. And they would say, "Well, in actual fact, I want to serve right here. I want to serve right here." Many of us, I think, you know, we come to the cross. We come to the cross and we were a bit like the slaves in a sense that we were bound slaves to sin. And we were in that marketplace of sin. We were bound into that. And Jesus came along and he took us out of there. But it took perhaps a time, maybe not 6 years, maybe longer, maybe shorter. But it took a journey for us to appreciate, no, this is not like serving my mom or my dad or my boss or some punishment. This is a privilege. We come to understand that what Jesus did and accomplished for us on the cross wasn't just great for the breaking of our spiritual chains, but it was the best thing that could ever have been done for us, ever. And it opened up to us a world that we could only ever have dreamed of. And it made way, it made possible for us to have access to our relationship with God himself. We finally start to give of ourselves to the way of the master. We start to invoke the disciplines of the relationship with him and start to walk with him and get to learn and understand him and his plan and his purpose for our lives. And we submit ourselves to that. Then we begin to lay hold of that freedom that we were speaking about earlier. You see, Jesus said, didn't he, that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. And I think that in church, if I can be honest, that too often that we have been content with meeting with Jesus, but we've not begun to tap in to this jug of the full. Yeah? We've been satisfied with meeting with him. We've been satisfied with almost embracing in our hearts the message of salvation. But we haven't journeyed some more. And ultimately, what that often looks like is that we've not allowed Jesus to become more than a savior in our lives, but to be the Lord of our lives. Some of us have had such a rough road and bad experience when it comes to authority, when it comes to people in positions of power and such like, that we balk at the very thought of authority, submission and such like. But again, you see, if we would but serve this master, if we get to know this master, if we journey with him a little, we'll find that he is markedly different from this one across the way or from this one that we experienced back yonder. In fact, we'll realize that life with him is not a life of slavery, but it's a life of delight. In fact, he has laid the way for us, hasn't he? He's paved the way and given us the best example of all with the work of the cross. Because again, Romans told us, didn't it, that it was whilst we were yet sinners, whilst we should have been the ones being punished, we should have been the ones taking the rap, it was then that Christ loved us and stepped in and says, no, I'm going to take the hit here. I'm going to take the weight of your sin. I'm going to take it at the cross for you. This master became our servant. This judge became the one who broke the chains to set the captives free. He turned the tables, not just over sin, death, and the grave, but he turned the tables of what was rightfully expected of you and me, that we might not be judged, but that we might be free. What a Savior. So, friend, I need to say to you today a few things, but one of them is, again, if you feel bound, if you feel like, oh, yeah, I've got to go to church, I've got to do this, I've got to do the next thing, then I have to ask, how well do you know this Jesus? How well do you know this Savior? Because it should come as an overflowing, overwhelming joy. Doesn't it mean to say that every day we come bouncing out of bed like a thing on a spring? Let's not be false. Some days we will have our struggles, whether physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or a mixture of all of the above. But our normal experience is that of love, joy, and peace, and of hope, and of purpose. For he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Free not to live under the duty of the law, under the duty of obligation, under the duty and the dirge of religiosity, but out of the freedom of worship. See, because when we come to fully grasp who he is and what he has done for us, as I said earlier, comes our mantra for life. Freely, freely, I have received. Freely, freely, I shall give. So we need to choose whom we shall serve. The Lord never forces anybody to serve him, eh? Again, he would just say to you and to I, choose. Choose this day. You've been on this journey for a time. Choose this day. You want to go and serve that one down the street? They ain't going to be like me. You want to serve yourself? And they ain't going to be like walking with me. You want to go and dance with the devil? Then you'll eat the fruit accordingly. Choose wisely. Choose life. Thirdly, constrained by love, eh? Constrained by love. That's what I'm talking about a lot, and a lot of what we were touching on there just now. And Romans chapter 6 is really helpful with this. In many ways, it's regurgitating a lot of what we have already covered. Asks this question right at the outset, verse 1. What shall we say then? What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? So we've come to the, we've been broken out of this camp of slavery, and now I'm free. I mean, to all intents and purposes, I can just do what I want. That's the paraphrase I would give to this verse here. But the response is this: certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized unto Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Scroll down with me to verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Here's another question he asks. What then? What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? Yeah, we're not going to be held to task by the law. And we're under this grace thing, you know. So it's not about, you know, how good I can be. It's all about how good you are, Jesus. What you have done, what you have accomplished. So if it's not about me, then I get off scot-free. And I can do what I want in theory, yeah. Again, he says, certainly not. Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the slaves, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? I'm going to read that again. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. He goes on to say, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. In simple terms, he's saying, look, there was a time that you presented yourself to the things of this world, making all sorts of ungodly, unhelpful choices that led to you being in a mess and bound. Yeah? You were a slave to those things because you'd given yourself over to those things. He says, you're either a slave to these things, to sin, or you're a slave of righteousness. And he appeals to us. Present your members. What's he speaking about? Is he writing to pastors here? And he said, present your members. I'll take you by the scruff of the neck. Yeah, here we go. Here's my next one. No, he's speaking about the attributes of your person. Yeah? Your thoughts. Yeah? You the motives of your heart. Your dreams, your desires, your ambitions, your mouth, the way you would speak, what you would choose to listen to, what you would look at, your members. These are the members of your body, just like you are the members of the church. You get it? He's saying, present your members to righteousness. Just like the once slave would present his ear to the doorpost to say, look, I could go wherever I want, I know that, but I'm choosing to serve you, Jesus. I want to live in this house forever. I mean, you've been the best. Nobody could ever treat me like